The Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. And here are your hosts, Adam and John Spies.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-barred trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, Adam Spies.
I'm your co-host, John Spies.
And today we have got an epic battle of the power-punching patrons in one quarter, hailing from Melbourne, Australia, Frankie, the Trivia Hunter, Mitchell. Say hi, give us a little bit about yourself, Frankie.
Hi, I'm Francesca, or Frankie. As you said, I live in Melbourne. I'm a mum of two small children, neither of whom are sleeping very well at the moment, so I'm keen to see how sleep-deprived I really am today.
I'm sure that will only help your trivia and, pulling things from your long-term memory. All right. And in the other corner, fighting her way from Pasco, Rhode Island, Jody, the real deal, Steel. Jody, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I like that. That's a new one. I've never heard that one before. So I'm Jody. I live in a really small town in Rhode Island called Pasco. I work for a big cable company. I won't say which one because you're going to hate it no matter which one I say.
that one. My cable always goes down. It's that one.
Whichever one. Yeah. I also have a kid, although mine's a little older. She sleeps through the night. So Frankie, all my sympathies. I remember those days very well. just do a lot of trivia. I stay inside a lot because it is literally like 6 degrees outside right now, and we'll probably remain that way until about April. So we're just hunkered down for the rest of the winter.
All right. Okay. Well, before we get going further into the game, let's learn the rules.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in 3 rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules.
Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If someone answers their question wrong, their opponent has a chance to steal.
And the categories are
movies, music, television, video games, sports, news and politics, fashion, technology, slang, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time, your opponent gets to pick your category. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you have before answering a 3-tiered question, which must have all parts correct in order to score the points.
Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, now that we know the rules, let's not warm up, but with all the cold weather, I guess, that Jody's having, I really want to get to know y'all just a little bit better. So I want you guys to tell me, what is your favorite card game of all time?
Oh, boy. That's hard. Can we count just playing cards or any game that's played with cards?
Any game that's played with cards. Doesn't have to be the regular, 52 card. They can do whatever.
Dick.
Yeah.
All right. I could go popular, but I'm going to be true. And I'm going to say a game that many people might not have heard of. And then everyone's going to be like, everybody knows that game, Jody. It's a game called Phase 10.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if any of you guys know that one.
Absolutely know Phase 10.
Yeah. It's kind of rummy-ish. It's very simple, but it's kind of like it's luck of the draw. It's just whatever cards you get. And I used to play with my grandparents all the time. And it's just a really fun game. You can play with anybody because there's no math, there's no reading. It's awesome.
Cool.
I'm just going to stick with a classic, or at least a classic for me, because we've had lots of family battles, and that's Uno. And I'm a primary school teacher, so I've had lots of classroom battles of Uno as well, so that'd be my favorite card.
Both are fantastic choices. Neither made my top 10 list on an episode that's coming out in Blast From Our Past, but if I had to pick between the two, well, one did make your list, didn't it, John?
Yeah, it sure did.
And I could pick that, but I think I like the other one better. But I'll pick that one. You know what? I'm going to go with Uno because it actually made one of our lists. So that means, Frankie, you get to pick your category first for round one.
Round one.
Okay. I'm going to go with fashion first.
Fashion.
And your decade is the 70s.
All right. And we're starting off immediately with our trivia writer who does a lot of stuff for us, Jackie LaFave. Thank you very much for sending us this question. Okay, 70s fashion. This hair care tool was invented in 1972 by Jerry Suzenza for Barbara Streisand's hair. It is a method of styling usually straight, long hair so that it becomes wavy, often in a sawtooth zigzag fashion.
I think I will guess, mainly used in the 80s, but I think I'll guess like a crimping wand.
Crimping wand or crimping iron is correct. It is much bigger in the 80s, but it was invented in the 70s. Awesome. All right.
My goal to get one question right. So, feeling good. I can breathe again.
All right. Perfect. All right. Frankie is on the board. Jody, can you match?
Let's go video games.
Okay.
And your decade is the 70s.
Oh boy.
All right.
Not my hope.
Released in 1976, in what game would you drive a car and try to run over little human-like figures? When you hit one, it would squeal and a cross would replace it on the screen. Many people were not amused.
Oh my goodness, I don't know, but now I really want to play this.
Morbid?
Yes, it sounds amazing. I have no idea. Pop a pedestrian.
Pop a pedestrian? It needs to become a game.
John liked it.
Yes, he did. All right. But nevertheless, it's incorrect. Frankie, you get a chance to steal this one.
I have no idea either. Probably choose something. I'll guess roadkill.
Roadkill is also a really good guess, but incorrect. No, the name of the game was Death Race. Death Race. And they did make a movie called Death Race, but I wasn't sure if it was a tie-in or not. But all right. No points awarded, but Frankie, it's back to you to pick your category.
I'm going to go TV, please.
Okay.
And your decade is the 80s.
Barry Brayman, a man known for being able to sneak onto the field and blend in with professional athletes, attempted to do the same thing at the 1985 Emmy Awards. Dressed in a tuxedo, Brayman stepped up to accept the Best Outstanding Supporting Actress Emmy for Betty Thomas, who was being honored for her work in what 80s police procedural? Can anybody else hear Frankie, or is it just me that I can't hear you? I do think you are our... you're our first non-American, either Northern American.
International?
Well, we had Canadians, so yeah, I can't say that. Yeah, so I can't say
that.
Does
that really count? Yeah. This is Canada.
So we will allow some technical errors, but Frankie, keep going.
Okay.
So listen.
I'm going to pass on that political procedural.
Oh, I will say, in case you misheard it, a police procedural. In case I screwed that up, which has been known for me to screw that up before, police procedural. Did Betty Thomas win?
Betty Thomas, mm-hmm. I'm going to guess Cagney and Lacey.
Cagney and Lacey is incorrect. All right, Jody, you get a chance to steal.
Oh, I have no idea. I wasn't born yet, so I have no idea. I'm glad you said police, because I thought you said political, too. But
it's 100% very possible.
Okay. Let's say Hill Street Blues. I think there's police in that show.
There is, and the answer is Hill Street Blues!
Yeah. It's the only 80s cop show I could possibly name.
Well done. All right, Jody gets the steal, and it is your category.
Let's go with slang.
Okay.
Your decade is the 70s.
Oh, no.
Well, all right. 70s slang. Though this term for being acutely aware of social or cultural injustices might seem like an entirely 21st century idea, But actually, the whole concept of the term originated in 1971 with a play by Barry Beckham called Garvey Lives about the Jamaican-born black nationalist Marcus Garvey.
Would that be woke?
That would be woke.
Woke good AF, job. Yo.
Yep. I'm going to read the little quote because I think it's pretty interesting. So from the play, there's a line that says, "I've been sleeping all my life, and now that Mr. Garvey done woke me up, I'm going to stay woke, and I'm going to help him wake up other black folk." So just like, I don't think it was used popularly, but the concept of exactly kind of what it means today started back then.
Wow, I had no idea.
Very cool.
Nice.
All right, Frankie, it is your pick.
I'm going to pick music, please.
Okay.
And your decade is the 90s.
All right. Name this German-French R&B duo consisting of Fab Morvan and Rob Pilatus, but really Brad Howell and John Davis. Their debut album achieved international success and brought them a Grammy Award for the Best New Artist in 1990.
I know this one well. Embarrassingly, I used to like them. I think it is Milli Vanilli.
Yeah, you know it's Milli Vanilli. Girl, you know it's true.
Baby.
Oh, such a good... I mean, we had a tape. We absolutely had a tape of Milli Vanilli. So I'm with you there.
We all saw the Behind the Music episode, yes. Right? Where like they showed the clip on stage of the tape. How are you using tape? Yeah. Like if your entire career relies on that tape playing back correctly, why are you using like actual tape? And why is there not like 9 backups?
Mm-hmm.
Poor guys.
Oh, no. It's a shame. Right. All right, Jody, you got to pick your category. And left we have movies, news and politics, sports, technology, and food.
Let's go technology. I'm going to regret that. Going to be 70s.
Your decade is the 70s.
Of course.
70s. And we've got another question from Jackie LaFave. Thank you so much, Jackie. All right, 70s tech. This device creates a series of tones and lights and requires a user to repeat the sequence. This game audio was inspired by the notes of a bugle, making its debut in 1978 at the retail price of $24.95.
Is that Simon?
That is Simon. Good call. Those
I didn't realize levels. That was the 70s.
Yep. It was a huge, huge game, but I think it probably didn't blow up until early 80s. So, all right, Frankie, we are bouncing back to you.
All right, I'm going to try food, please.
Okay.
Your decade is the 80s.
This brand started in 1982 with a homemade salad dressing that the namesake actor and his writer friend prepared themselves and gave to friends as gifts.
I think this is Paul Newman. I'm not sure if that's the actual name of it, but I'm going to say Paul Newman dressing. Paul, I'm just going to go with Paul Newman.
I can't accept that. Yeah. I've got to move it on to Jody. I'm sorry, but I cannot tell you how close you are because maybe it's close, maybe it's not.
I think it's technically Newman's own. Yeah.
Yes, Paul Newman is the actor, but the brand that I was looking for is Newman's Own.
Yeah, cool. I wouldn't have got that.
Close. I'm sure being in Australia, it hurts a little bit. You know, I don't know what brands actually make it all the way over there.
I'm pretty sure we do have that one.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, some of the things you guys talk about, I must admit, I have no idea.
Yep, I get it. All right. Jody, get with the steal, and you got to pick your category.
Let's go movies. Movies.
Okay.
And your decade is the 90s.
Oh, thank God. Finally.
All right. All right. It's a good thing I'm editing this episode because there's going to be some bleeps here. Okay. All right, 90s movies. In this 1998 stoner film, you'd hear character Scarface say, "F you, you're cool, f you, I'm out," as he quits his job at a fast food restaurant.
I know the reference from the much later movie Waiting, because that's more my time frame. Stoner film, 1998, fast food restaurant. Oh, is it Fast Time? No, nope. Nope, that was way too early. I didn't say anything. it's a 98, right?
Yes, 1998.
98. Oh my goodness. 98 stoner film. I was 12 in my defense, so I wasn't watching a lot of stoner films yet.
I don't know. I don't judge you.
I don't know. That's, wow. I have no idea. I'm going to have to pass. I can't even come up with a title from that time.
All right. Frankie, how many stoner films were you watching back in 1998?
Not too many. They definitely came a bit later for me. It sounds so familiar to me, but the fast food restaurant part is throwing me off. I'm going to guess, and I think it is later, I'm going to guess Clerks.
Clerks is a good guess. But no, so yeah, the fast food restaurant was just a quick little thing that this character, Scarface, was working at the time. But the stoner film was really the thing. Jody, do you want to tell us? Because I think you just figured it out.
I think I just figured it out. What's that movie with Dave Chappelle?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And Jim Brewer and Scarface is the one other guy whose name I don't know. What is the name of that movie? The girl's name is Mary Jane. It's the girl that was in The Craft. Rachel True. I know her name, but I can't remember the name of the movie. Oh, my God. I wouldn't have gotten it anyway because I can't remember the name of the stupid movie. Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to say How High, but that's the other one.
Yep.
I don't know.
This one is Half Baked.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, my God. It's also my favorite ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh,
that hurt.
That does. All right, Frankie, you get to pick your category.
Could you tell me what's left?
Yep. Left we have news and politics or sports.
Well, that makes it easy. I'll go news and politics, please.
All right.
And your decade is the 90s.
All right. This is a tough one for you. I'm sorry.
Right, that's what I want to hear.
I'm sorry. I should have gone a little bit more international on that one.
Okay.
In 1996, Billy Bailey, a convicted murderer, was executed. He was the third person to be hanged since 1965 and also the last person to die by hanging in the U.S. as of today. In what state did this occur? You got a 1 in 50.
That's true. And I know my American states well. And I know true crime, but this is just going to be a guess. I will go where they might be. Now I don't want to offend any state.
We don't care.
I'm going to guess. I'll guess Florida.
Florida is incorrect.
Okay.
All right, Jody, you get a chance to steal.
Honestly, you're not far off. Florida is a perfectly viable option considering Florida. For some reason, I remember reading something about hanging being the method of execution, like way longer than you think it would be. And for some reason, Utah comes to mind. So I'm going to say Utah.
Utah is incorrect.
Yeah.
Yep. This is probably my fault because I didn't get a good little, like, you know, another way to get to this spot. But no, this is Delaware. Look, we're in Delaware. So,
wow.
Yes, the
out
last
of all the states, that is the last one that I would have guessed.
Yes.
Texas, yeah.
Way before I would have guessed Delaware.
Yeah, it's my fault on the writing. I should have added a hint in there for Delaware. All right. Well, my poor writing aside, Jody, you are stuck with sports to end this round.
Apparently.
And your decade is the 70s.
Okay. In 1977, this stallion was the second of the decade to win the Triple Crown. He was purchased for $17,500 by Karen and Mickey Taylor, who lived in White Swan, Washington.
I have no idea. Why am I getting... This is the second horse racing-related trivia podcast thing that's happened to me. I have no clue. I don't even know, like, any racehorses. Secretariat. That's the only one I know. Secretariat.
Secretariat is incorrect. Frankie, you get a chance to steal.
Yeah, well, Jody stole my one horse. Thanks, Jody.
Sorry.
I'm going to say, I will guess a famous Australian horse that could have never won, but the only other horse I know, Farlap, please.
Farlap? I've never heard of Farlap. No, I tried to emphasize this horse lived in Washington. Does that help? Is there another big city in Washington? No, nobody. You guys don't know the horses. No worries. The horse's name is Seattle Slough.
Oh,
Seattle
okay.
Slough.
I have heard that.
Okay. All right. That is the end of round one. John, mathematicize us up. What do we got for our score update?
All right. Hopefully my scores are correct. Right now I have Jody at 40 and Frankie at 20.
That's what I'm seeing as well. All
I'm
right.
Just not keeping track. So.
Well, we got it.
Trust you guys?
Yeah, sure. Trust us. We're good at stuff. No, but nothing is out of reach yet. All right. But to start round two.
Round two.
Jody, you get to pick the category for Frankie.
All right. Well, I can't help but notice that she also avoided sports, just like I did. So I'm going to give her sports.
I wasn't too subtle there, was I?
No. Me neither. I mean, let's be real.
And your decade is the 80s.
Frankie, you know this Auburn running back who won the 1985 Heisman Trophy, running over 1,700 yards and scoring 17 touchdowns that season.
No, I don't. I can't even pretend that I do. Did you say a year?
1985. The best year of all time. It was the single greatest year in history. Yes.
He's saying that because he was born.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I was figuring. Yeah. I could argue 81, but I don't even think I can come up with a name. I will guess a Lucky Johnson.
Lucky Johnson is incorrect. All right, Jody, you get a chance to steal this one.
I'm going to name the, I don't even know. I couldn't even name a Heisman. You said Heisman, right? Is that the college football trophy?
1985 Heisman Trophy winner from Auburn. I almost said Auburn, Georgia. That's not it. Auburn, Alabama.
Alabama.
Oh, yeah, what's it? Auburn.
Let's say, you know, I know someone that scored a lot of touchdowns one time for Polk High. Let's say Al Bundy.
That he did four touchdowns in a single game. Yes. No, that is incorrect.
Adam, can I take a guess?
Of course you can.
I'm probably way off, but I thought maybe he was earlier than this. Was it Bo Jackson?
It was Bo Jackson.
Okay.
You know Bo.
You know Bo.
Why you put that clue in there.
Yep. You know Bo. And I feel bad. We didn't get a 90s sports question because I had a Tri Nations. I don't know if you watch rugby, but being out from Australia. Frankie's shaking her head.
I'm AFL all the way.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I used to play rugby in college. And so that's why I kind of wanted to, I've got an Australian. I'm going to put a rugby question here. And you wouldn't have gotten it anyway. Maybe you would have.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll find out next game, whoever the lucky person is that gets it. But all right. Frankie, you get a pick for Jody.
I'm going to pick news and politics, please.
Right.
Good choice.
And your decade is the 80s.
The 80s. Selected by Ronald Reagan in 1981, this person became the first woman ever appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Oh, Lord Almighty. Sandra Day O'Connor.
Sandra Day O'Connor is correct.
I just had to struggle not to say Sandra D. O'Connor, the joke from Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Because I mix those up after seeing that show, and it's ruined that name for me now.
All right, good poll. Now, Jada, we are just moving along. You get to pick for Frankie.
Let's go video games.
Oh, yeah.
Your decade is the 90s.
This action fantasy role-playing franchise created by Bethesda is mainly set in the fictional continent of Tamriel and had its first game come out in 1994 with the subtitle Arena.
Oh, dear. Video games are not my strong point.
good choice from Jody, then.
Yeah, really good. Really good. Role-playing fantasy game, 1994. With the tagline Arena, did you say?
Mm-hmm. With the, not tag, the subtitle.
Subtitle.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy is incorrect. Jody, you get a chance on this one.
So, video games are something that I really spend too much time on, except this one kind of video game. I play everything else except fantasy stuff. He said Bethesda. It's not WoW. I have no idea. I have no clue. Let's say Skyrim.
Skyrim is incorrect. And it's only incorrect because you gave me another one of their subtitle games. They have made Arena, Daggerfall, Morrowind, Oblivion, and Skyrim. But yeah, the overall
Elder Scrolls.
Yes, the franchise is called Elder Scrolls.
So I always, that's one of those things I always mix up, whether like that's Skyrim is the franchise and then Elder Scrolls was a subtitle because I don't play it. But
yeah,
I 50-50'd it in my head and I went the wrong way.
Fair enough. One of my favorite games of all time is Skyrim. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Nerd.
She got you, Adam.
I got. All right. Well, you know what? To get you back, I'm going to have Frankie pick something for you that you don't like. So how about that? All right, Frankie.
Let's try and guess what Jody might not like. I think I will go with music, please.
Depends on what decade it is.
Yeah.
The decade is the 80s.
The 80s. Well, I can guarantee she's not going to like it because we're heading to Throwback Lounge, where I'm going to sing some lyrics. And Jody, you have to tell me the artist of this 1984 number one hit. Sometimes you picture me, I'm walking too far ahead. Hey, you're calling to me, I can't hear what you said. Ho! Then you say, go slow. And I fall behind. The second hand unwinds. Hey!
That is Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper. I guess you did like it a little bit.
Yeah, that's a classic.
That was a good rendition, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very jazzy.
I'll try to. All right. Jody, your call for Francesca.
Oh, let's see. This is tricky.
It's
let's go with
rock time. It's tricky. Sorry.
Let's go food.
Going food.
This better be a Vegemite question.
Oh, yes, please. Had it for breakfast.
Your decade is the 90s.
The 90s. All right. Well, I'm not sure if this chain made it over there. Maybe. All right. This restaurant was a gambler when it opened in 1991, and it filed for bankruptcy in 1998. The memory of its chicken lives on in part to the Seinfeld episode dedicated to Kramer's love of the chain.
Okay, I know that episode. And I'm guessing the gambler might have something to do with the song The Gambler. And I'm trying to think who sang that, but I'm having a mental... I'm going to guess... Kenny Rogers chicken. You want more information, don't you?
Yeah, can you, let me check something real quick. I kind of want to give it to you.
No, that's fine. I'm happy with being close. I was in the ballpark.
You are. You're.
Yeah,
all right.
That's cool.
I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna be harsh. I'm gonna be harsh today, I guess.
Do it.
All right, Jody, you get a chance to steal.
I have no idea. I would have said Kenny Rogers chicken too, because that's what I would assume. Kenny Rogers chicken shack.
Yeah, I mean, it was delicious chicken. I remember, John, our mom used to get this when she came home from work, and I thought it was delicious.
See, I couldn't remember the name either. I would have guessed Kenny Rogers chicken. Is it Kenny Rogers Roasters?
Kenny Rogers Roasters. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. And I just double checked. It's not like Roasters chicken, not anything else. It is Kenny Rogers Roasters. So
that's because only anyone ever went there for was the chicken.
It was good. It was good chicken.
I don't know if we had those up here. It doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, but it was like a roasted, obviously like a frame broiled roasted chicken. So mom thought it was a little bit healthier. It was certainly not. I doubt than too much healthier than fried chicken. But oh well. All right, Frankie, you get a pick for Jody.
I will pick slang, please.
Okay.
And your decade is the 80s.
Yeah, that's the ticket, is a phrase made popular by this Saturday Night Live cast member while playing the character Tommy Flanagan, the pathological liar.
Oh. Tommy Flanagan, the pathological liar. 80s SNL is definitely before my time. Can you read the question one more time? Sorry.
Of course. Yeah, that's the ticket. is a phrase made popular by this Saturday Night Live cast member while playing the character Tommy Flanagan, the pathological liar?
I have no idea. I'm just going to say Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman, who is one of, if not the greatest SNL cast member of all time, in my opinion, is incorrect. Frankie, you get a chance to steal it.
80s SNL is also before my time, so I'm just going to have a guess. I was thinking maybe Chris Farley, but I'm thinking perhaps he's later. So I might go with Steve Martin, please.
Steve Martin is incorrect. It's all right, though. John, you want to give your best rendition of this phrase?
No, not even a little bit.
All right. I'm far more willing to degrade myself in front of everyone. But no, that is John Lovitz. John Lovitz, who played that character. All right. All right, Jody, it is your call for Frankie.
Ooh, all right, let's do TV.
Okay.
And your decade is the 70s.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And this definitely just makes you realize, I got to write more international questions, John. This is a problem. But maybe it made it. All right. This American crime drama series, considered a counterculture... Sorry, first off, I forgot to mention another question from Jackie LeFave. Thank you so much, Jackie. I'm going to start that over again because I bobbled it. All right. This American crime drama series, considered a counterculture police series, starred three main characters, Pete Cochran, Julie Barnes, and Link Hayes. The three worked as a team and were described by some critics as the hippest and first young undercover cops on TV.
This doesn't sound familiar to me at all. I'm not even sure if I can have a guess. Can't say I watch a lot of 70s police shows. I'll just guess Undercover Cops.
Undercover Cops. And just no hiding what it is it's about. It's about
That's
undercover
it.
Cops. So, no. Incorrect. Jody, you got a chance to steal.
I have no idea. The name Julie Barnes does sound familiar, but I can't place it. I can't even think of a guess because I can't think of any 70s. I don't really watch like cop shows besides Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So I don't know. I don't even have a guess.
And I adore Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, I'm just waiting for new episodes. I really hope it does come back. It's such a great show. Okay. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or I don't have a guess, is incorrect. No, this is The Mod Squad.
Oh.
The Mod Squad.
I've heard of that, and I almost said it, but I thought The Mod Squad was like, first of all, I thought it was the 60s, and I thought it was like a whole different vibe than crime drama. Also thought it was British until like right now.
Yeah, it is American. And it was from 1968 to 73, so it was late 60s to 70s.
Okay.
Sorry. I was looking at something else, but yes. All right. So, Frankie, we get to pick the category for Jody. And left we have movies, fashion, and technology.
I'll guess technology, please. I'll give Jody technology.
You'll guess it. You'll You'll get it anyway. All right. No.
Fingers crossed.
And your decade is the 80s.
Name this motor company that went bankrupt in 1982. Though it left a lasting impression with its use of gullwing doors, it had a 0 to 60 in 88 seconds. Oops, sorry, that's 8.8 seconds.
Oh, a DeLorean.
DeLorean, a little too obvious of a hint there. But yes, DeLorean is correct.
The doors is what did it, to be honest.
The doors, you got it, the gullwing doors, yes, they are very, very famous. All right. Jody, you get a pick for Frankie.
So I noticed that she picked fashion last time first. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give her movies. Sorry.
And your decade is the 80s.
In 1986's Crocodile Dundee, during an attempted mugging, Mick gives this classic line, "That's not a knife, that's a knife." The weapon Mick pulls out is named after what Texas pioneer who died at the Battle of the Alamo?
We were going so well. Crocodile Dundee, that's not a knife, this is a knife, until that last bit. Oh boy. Okay, so a Texas frontier?
Mm-hmm. Texas pioneer, frontiersman.
Pioneer.
Either or.
At the Alamo.
He died at the Battle of the Alamo. So the knife that he pulled out is named after this guy.
I must admit, I've only seen Crocodile Dundee the once. I know.
Scandal. Yeah.
I'm the not question, sure if it is such
here's
a
the real question.
Yeah.
Here's the real question. The real question is have you seen, did you ever see Paul Hogan's TV show from the 70s?
Yes, I have seen some of that. Okay. Gold. much better than Crocodile Dundee. No. Don't even have a guess. Sorry.
Don't have a guess. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jody, you get a chance to steal.
I think it's Bowie.
It is Bowie, not David, but Jim Bowie or Jim Bowie. Jim or James Bowie or Bowie, however you want to pronounce it. But yes, it was the Bowie knife.
Bowie knife. Yeah.
Yep.
Fun fact. Paul Hogan is the reason why most Americans know the phrase throw another shrimp on the Barbie. Yeah. And it's because he was on a commercial put on by the Australian tourism board. And it was a throwaway line. It wasn't even like the center point of the commercial. He just threw it away. And for some reason, like idiots, we latched onto it.
Yeah.
That sounds about American.
Yes.
It's funny. We don't even call them shrimp here. So to us, it's prawn. Sounds really prawn. Strange. Yeah. Throw another prawn on the Barbie.
Yeah. I think Paul Hogan is the reason that we really know anything about Australia pretty much. Yeah.
It could
and
be
Hugh
worse.
Hugh Jackman.
It could be worse. Yeah. Oh, and Hugh Jackman. Well, yes. Yeah. Huge
definitely
Jackman.
Going in a sorry. Better direction with Hugh Jackman than Paul Hogan.
All right. And I think, Frankie, you have to pick. Well, you don't pick because it's down to fashion. And Jody, you are taking fashion.
Oh, boy.
And your decade is the 80s.
As the legend goes, in 1986, Vanna White was photographed using a Plano fishing tackle box to stow and organize her makeup collection. Plano Molding Company then launched this brand in 1987 with the snazzy On The Go Girl, molded from the same functional designs of a tackle box.
I think any girl around my age has had one of these. I'm pretty sure it's a caboodle.
Caboodle is correct. Our sister absolutely had one. They're super bright, and they're literally just a tackle box
that
girls put makeup in.
And the more like compartments and fold-out sections and drawers that it had, the better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. That is the end of round two. John, could you give us our score update?
Yeah, Jody kind of ran away with it this round. She ended up with 90, and Frankie's got 20.
All right. That's all right. That's all right. You never know how she's going to bet during our wager round in our final round.
Final round!
This is a wager round where you get to pick your wager on the category, and that category is tennis.
Do you want me to write it down?
You can write it down, sure. That sounds good. Just write it down on your paper. And let me know when you're good to go.
All right, all set.
All set. Good. Okay, now your question. I would like y'all to name which athlete won the most women's singles Grand Slam championships in each of our decades, and I have some hints for you. In the 70s, it was an American who won 9 Grand Slam titles in the 70s and 18 titles total. In the 80s, 18 titles total throughout her career. In the 80s, it was a Czechoslovakian / American who won 15 Grand Slam titles in the 80s and also 18 titles in her entire career. And in the 90s, it was a German who won 14 Grand Slam titles in the 90s and 22 titles in her career.
Okay.
All right. While Jody and Francesca are thinking about their answers, I'm here to tell y'all to check out our Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown if you guys are interested in supporting the show or being on as well. Besides that, check out everything on the Beef Up Network, whether it's Blast From Our Past that John and I do, Talking Back that Tim and Dean do, Podcasting After Dark that Zach and Corey do, or Cartwright of Seinfeld Podcast that myself and Corey do. They're all fantastic shows.
Would you mind reading the second hint, please, again, Adam?
Of course. So from the 80s, it was a Czechoslovakian / American who won 15 Grand Slam titles in the 80s and 18 throughout her career.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm all set. This is just name any three female tennis players that I could think of. Margaret Court. Oh, no. Yeah.
She has the most Grand Slam titles of all time.
We don't talk about her, though, right?
Yeah, especially here at the moment. She just got another Order of Australia, and it's a very sore point, big talking point here at the moment. All right. I'm good to go, too. Don't think I'm going to get any further than that.
All right. Well, that's being optimistic. Okay. All right. Frankie, how about you start us off with your answers?
Yeah, sure. The first one, I've gone for Billie Jean King in the 70s. My 80s, Czechoslovakian, I just couldn't even think of a name for that one, so I've had to pass. And for the 90s, I've said Monica Seles. I'm pretty sure she's not German, but it was between her and Nat Radulova, and I don't think she's German either, so I've gone with Monica Seles.
All right, and Jody, what were your answers?
I like Monica Seles better than my answer. All right, so for the 70s, I said Billie Jean King. She's the only tennis player I could think of that played during that time. For the 80s, I said Navratilova because it's not an American-sounding name, and that was the only reason I had for that. And for the 90s, I said Steffi Graf.
All right, here are your answers. And I'm going to go in reverse order. In the 90s, she's German and she has won a bunch of titles. It's Steffi Graf. In the 80s, the Czechoslovakian / American, who has won 15 titles, she dominated the 80s. That was Martina Navratilova. And in the 70s, the American who won 9 titles was Chris Evert. Chris Evert. Good close call with Billie Jean King. She was also very strong in the 70s as well. So, all right, so nobody got their wager, but let's find out how many points you go down. Frankie, what did you wager?
I decided just to go hard and throw in all my 20 points that I had.
Right? All right, and Jody?
Well, knowing absolutely nothing about tennis, I went 0 because... No, I did. We went all in when I was on Trivial Warfare and it blew up in our face. Yeah. So I was being safe this time.
All right. Going for the win. John, could you math us up and find out who won?
With a final score of 90-0, Jody is the winner.
Woo! Well done, Jody.
Good job.
Yeah. Only took 3 trivia podcast appearances to not lose terribly.
Yay. No, it was a good match. Thank y'all both for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. Y'all did good. I know it's, you know, once you get on the spotlight and being on it, it makes you feel, you know, dumber than you really are. But you both did absolutely fantastic. Frankie, would you like to just kind of mention anything else and just kind of any shout out that you want to do?
I just want to say thanks for having me on. I love your podcast. It's just so much fun to listen to. Just a shout out to my family. Thanks for letting me have more than 5 minutes of peace and time to myself to do something fun. Yeah, that's all. Just thanks a lot.
Fantastic. And Jody?
So I think, you know, we've all covered wearing masks and washing hands. And just say support, you know, creators and small businesses like you guys. You know, Patreon is great. If you have something that you need or you want and you can buy it from a small business or a local business and you can, you know, wait and you don't need that Amazon 2-day shipping, you know, do that instead. Amazon's doing fine right now, guys. They're okay. Like people like John and Adam and, you know, all the people that do these podcasts and make stuff for us to enjoy while in quarantine need help too. So yeah, you know, help out your local people, your small people. And they appreciate it a whole lot more than Jeff Bezos does. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yep. Without question. All right. Thank you all so much. Very well said. Very well played. For John, I'm Adam, and that was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast, or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on the podcast platform you're listening to. And we'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Hello!
La, la, la.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Corey.
And we are the hosts of Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast. We are breaking down every single episode of Seinfeld as we watch it, reliving this amazing show.
That's right. It's a trip down memory lane for all of us 90s kids out there. You can find Cartwright, a Seinfeld podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and Patreon.
La la la.